Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? Are you looking forward to what God's going to do in your life this morning? Have you come with an expectation this morning? Are you excited? This is the first service, people. You've been up since like 4:30 this morning, calling on God, believing on God for big things. I know you came in ready. You're pumped up. You're excited. You're ready to go. I'm glad some people are clapping in here today because it's going to be a good time in church this morning. I hope you're ready. I hope you're excited. Our expectation draws the most out of the Word of God. I'm excited. Well, we are in a series on Mark. And we're looking at Mark chapter 1 today. So if you get your Bible, turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 1. If you forgot your Bible, we can put it on the screen for you, or you can look on with a friend. And if you're single this morning, that's an opportunity for you to start your relationship with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And what we've been talking about is Mark, it's an action-packed gospel. It moves very quickly. Mark, over 40 times, says the word immediately. And most scholars believe that Mark got his content, his resource, his source for his material was Peter. And Peter don't like to mess around, so Mark moves quickly. And it's just a good time when we're looking at Mark. We've learned already so much about Jesus and what his ministry was about, what he was about. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a story that actually appears three times, not one, not two, but three times in the Bible. It appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so this story is so important that God has put it in literally surround sound for us this morning so we can draw out everything possible from the Word of God. So I hope you're ready. Hope you're leading in. We're going to look at it. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. We'll put it on the screen. It says this, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter." This morning, I want to speak to you from the subject, Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. I don't know, maybe you've come into this place and the circumstances of life have put you in a desolate place. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, it looks like everything's going good on the outside, but if you were honest this morning, you would say, my soul is in a desolate place. I think the Word of God is here to tell us today that Jesus is willing. He's willing for you to come to him this morning. He's willing to work in your life and help you. He's willing even to take your place. Jesus is willing. That's some good stuff this morning, isn't it? Jesus is willing to help you. Jesus is willing to be there for you. And so we're going to look at how that's illustrated in this passage, beginning with verse 40. And it says this, "And a leper came to him." That's good all by itself. A leper came to Jesus. You know, everything that God wants to do in our life starts with us coming to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus to receive from Jesus. You know what? The World Series is coming up, isn't it? Are you excited about the World Series? It's going to be cool. That's great. Some of us are excited. You know, I've found, and maybe you're with me on this, that you don't actually have to be a fan of a particular sport to enjoy the end of the season. For example, last year during the World Series on the final game, Beth and I were on the couch and we couldn't take our eyes off the TV, and we're not even baseball fans. I mean, we were excited about the World Series. And just by a show of hands, how many of you have ever been to a World Series, NBA Finals game, or a Super Bowl? Just put it up high, be loud and proud. That is pretty cool, way up high. Wow, so a few of you have been to one of those. Okay, so if I were to come up to you and I were to say, you know, you've been to that. That's awesome. What was that like? And you were like, oh, man, it was awesome. The traffic was awesome. The smells, they were awesome. The food was the best food I've ever had. I hugged a guy I don't even know. He had no shirt on. It was crazy. I mean, we were laughing and we were crying at the end of the game. I got my hat signed. It just blew my mind. It was awesome. I go, thanks. Thanks for telling me about that. That's so cool. You know, now I don't even need to go. I mean, I feel like I've just hearing about it is good enough for me. And so later in the day, you're with me because we're friends, and we're walking along, and somebody comes to me and says, you know what? I have tickets. I have two tickets for you, free tickets for you to go to the World Series, and I want to give them to you. And I go, no, I'm good. I don't need to go. Somebody told me about the World Series. It was fantastic. You know what you would do? You'd say, excuse me to the person. You'd take me aside. You'd splash some water on my face, and you'd say, what are you thinking? You need to go to the World Series. Hearing about something is not the same as experiencing something. Brandon, this is going to be a life-changing event. Go to the World Series. You need to go right now. You know why you'd say that? Because hearing is different than experiencing. And today, I want you to see that experiencing Jesus, coming to Jesus, is completely different than hearing about Jesus. If the leper had said, you know, I heard about Jesus and never come to Jesus, then he'd never receive a healing. He had to come to Jesus to receive from Jesus. You have to come to Jesus to receive grace from Jesus. You have to come to Jesus to receive the love of Jesus. You have to come to Jesus to experience the faithfulness of Jesus. If a leper, if he'd stayed where he was at and never come to Jesus, he would have never received from Jesus. But I think we need to pause today for a little historical context, a little biblical citation, because the leper coming to Jesus is harder than it sounds. And maybe today you're like, Brandon, it's not that easy for me. I can't just come to Jesus. People like Tom Matthew, they just come to Jesus. People like Randall Cartwright, he can just come to Jesus. People like Debbie Lindell, she can just come to Jesus. But, you know, if you've made the decisions I've made, if you've made some of the choices I've made, people like me, we just don't just come to Jesus. You see, the reason we need to have some historical context is the phrase, a leper came. You know, in biblical times, this would instantly cause the first century reader to lean into what was being said. Lepers don't come. If this was on the news, they would have turned it up, they would have turned on the closed captioning, and they would have hushed the children because they would have said, I need to hear what's going to be said next. This is scandalous. Lepers don't come to people. They don't come to people, and they especially don't come to famous people. They don't come to, you know, it's almost audacious to think that a leper would come to a spiritual leader. Lepers were the most unspiritual of people. They were unclean. Now, physically, the disease would have been horrible. Most likely, this leper has what we know of as Hansen's disease today. It causes sores all over the body. It causes the shriveling of limbs. It causes numbness, so your fingers and toes fall off. It causes organ failure and nerve damage. It causes a stench from constant infection. But worse than physical pain and worse than physical suffering and worse than all that would go along with that, it is that the psychological and emotional element of this disease was absolutely horrendous. Lepers were unclean. Leviticus 13 says a leper was physically unclean and spiritually unclean. They were ostracized from the community. They weren't allowed to associate with people. And so this leper coming to Jesus is absolutely huge. He would have been thinking, I can't come to Jesus. What am I thinking? I can't do this. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. You know, Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that lepers were literally treated like dead men walking. They're disfigured, ostracized from the community, literally dead men walking. And this leper gets up and says, I'm going to come to Jesus. It's a powerful moment, but you have to imagine that every step along the way, he had to be thinking, what am I doing? People like me, we don't go to Jesus. I'm unclean. And then as he sees the town where Jesus is in, a fresh wave of anxiety would have swept over him, and he would have thought, man, I can't do this. I'm a leper. That's who I am. People like me, we don't come to Jesus. But if he'd never come to Jesus, he'd never receive from Jesus. You know, it's funny, the thing that he needed Jesus to work in his life, the thing where he needed Jesus to touch and to change and to heal, that very thing that he needed to heal his leprosy was the very thing that threatened to keep him from coming to Jesus. You know, we have an enemy of our soul, and he wants to keep you where you're at. He wants to immobilize you with fear. He wants to paralyze you, and so he'll use the very thing that you need Jesus for to keep you from coming to Jesus. Maybe you've come in today and you struggle because you have a past where you've done things and you've said things that you feel have disqualified you from coming to Jesus. Then the enemy's going to use your past to keep you from coming to Jesus. Maybe you're in here today and you're bound by an addiction and you're like, man, I just don't know. I've tried everything and I feel absolutely unclean. And you feel like, man, I want to come to Jesus, but can I come to him with this addiction? If you have an addiction and you know you need to come to Jesus, then that will threaten to be what keeps you from Jesus. The enemy will use that very thing, the very reason you need Jesus, to keep you from coming to Jesus. Maybe you struggle with a broken, bitter spirit. Then the enemy will attempt to use your broken, bitter spirit to be the very thing, the very reason you need Jesus, to keep you from coming to Jesus. But the leper came to Jesus because Jesus wants us to come to him. You know, Jesus said in John, he said, whoever the Father sends to me, I will in no way cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is willing for you to come to him. Jesus wants you to come to him. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to bring your need to him. Don't let the reason you need to come to Jesus keep you from coming to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So the leper comes to Jesus, and what happens next? He asks Jesus a question. And really, it's the question we all ask if we're going to come to God. He asks him this. He says, If you're willing, Jesus, you can put this on the screen. If you're willing, a leper came to him imploring him and kneeling said, if you will, you can make me clean. You know, he doesn't know who Jesus is, but he's basically saying, I don't know what your motivation is, Jesus. I know you can, but I don't know if you want to. What motivates Jesus? Now, for a second, I want to ask if you've ever had a moment where you felt like time slowed down. Have you ever felt like time slowed down? Have you ever had a moment where that happened to you? I'll tell you this. Scientists tell us that time slowing down, that sensation, is actually a tricking of the brain. You can actually trick your brain into think time is slowing down, and that's what's happening there. Maybe you didn't know your brain can be tricked. And so I want you to answer this question as quickly as you possibly can. It goes like this, and just focus with me if you can. I want you to answer this question as quickly as you can and as loudly as you can. Mary's mother had 4 children, April, May, June, and... Perfect. Your brain has now been tricked, because the answer is most definitely and definitively Mary. Mary's mother had 4 children, April, May, June, and Mary, which would be really awkward if your name was Mary in that family. But your brain can be tricked, and when you've ever felt like time was slowing down, that's exactly what is happening. Do you guys all, you all feel fooled this morning? Fooled. That's exactly what's happening. When time slows down, your brain's being tricked. If you have a fear of public speaking, you're probably not going to raise your hand, but just go ahead and raise it. If you have a fear, you're like, I don't like to do public speaking, perfect. I know there's so many of you, but you're like, I'm afraid to raise my hand right now. And so if you have a fear of public speaking, do you remember the last time you were asked to speak in front of people? And you're probably like, do I remember? Do I remember that 3 minutes felt like 3 hours? Do I remember? The only reason I don't remember something is because I literally blacked out when I was public speaking. That's just, I remember everything about that moment. And I'll tell you why you remember. It probably felt like time was slowing down because when your adrenaline begins to pump and you're afraid, your brain actually switches gears and actually starts recording more information, giving you the perception and the sensation that time actually slows down. Now, I believe in this passage, this illustrates what is happening to the leper, because the minute he completes his sentence, the minute he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean," his head is down, and he's unaware of what's actually happening, and the silence in that moment had to feel like hours. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Because what he's unaware of is in that moment, Jesus, fully God, fully man, Jesus, the one who holds the universe together by the word of his power, Jesus in perfect unity with the Father, that Jesus is emotionally and deeply moved. The Bible says in the ESV that he was moved with pity, moved with compassion. An older manuscript actually says he's moved with anger. Have you ever felt so much for somebody that was hurting? You empathized so deeply with somebody. You hurt so much with them that you actually felt like you were feeling compassion and anger at the same time. This is what's happening to Jesus. He's angry. He's angry at what sin does to people. He's angry at the disease. He's angry that the person that's made in his image has been destroyed outside and in. Jesus gets angry because he says, "This is not how it should be." And he's moved with emotion, moved with compassion, moved with anger, and his eyes begin to water. And all the leper knows that's happening is silence. It's a powerful moment. And the leper has to be thinking, while he's on the ground, "I knew I shouldn't come. I knew this is not what I should be doing." The silence had to be deafening, because silence is almost worse than words in this moment, as he thinks, "You know what? I knew I shouldn't have done this," and the silence speaks to him. It says, "I'm ashamed of you." You know, leprosy, just being around a leper could make you unclean. Even though you weren't the leper, just being around a leper could make you unclean. So he had to be thinking through the silence that Jesus is actually feeling this. How inconvenient. Now I'm going to be unclean. How dare you come to me? Don't you know I'm busy? Don't you know I'm trying to save the world? Don't you know what I'm up to? And now you're coming to me and you're standing, I'm going to have to go get clean. This is inconvenient. This is hard. I don't have any words for you right now. I don't want to say anything to you right now. I just wish you would leave. The silence is deafening and time slows down as the leper waits. But this deafening silence is broken not with words, but by the last thing a leper would expect. Jesus reaches out and he touches him. And the question of willingness is shattered not with words, but by the last thing he'd expect, a touch from Jesus. You don't touch a leper. Aside from being unclean, you're afraid of the disease. You do not touch a leper. Lepers wouldn't have felt human touch. And part of leprosy is a numbness that happens in your body, the loss of feeling. And instantly, as he's touched, he feels and he experiences the love of God and the power of God all wrapped up in a touch. And Jesus says, "I am willing. Be clean." And instantly, the leprosy leaves him. You know, the question, "If you're willing, you can make me clean," questions the motivation of God when we come to God. What motivates God if we need God to work in our lives? And oftentimes, if we don't understand the compassion of God, if we don't understand who he is and what he's like, when we come to him, we feel like we need to come up with some sort of outside motivation to move God. Some outside motivation to move him, to help us, to move him emotionally. And what we usually reach for in the arsenal of Jesus' motivation is we reach for some new sort of like faithfulness on our part. We reach for, man, it's some outward dedication to create a motivation in Jesus. And so what that usually looks like is, Jesus, I need your help. God, I need your help. If you do this, then I'll stop this. If you do this, then I'll stop that. If you do this, I'll adopt a kitten. If you do this, I will, I'll tell the world about you. But what we betray in that moment is we really lack an understanding of what actually motivates God, because none of those things actually motivate God. God is not motivated by those things. God doesn't need any outward motivation. He has inward compassion. That God is the only motivator of himself, that God is the initiator. So what moves God? It's God. What moves God's heart? It's God. God loves people. God doesn't need any sort of outward motivation, so any sort of outward passion on your part to be motivated to care about you, to be motivated to care about your need. God moves himself. So when he sees your need, he doesn't need you to come and say, God, I'll do this, this, and that for you to help me. All that you need is to bring your need to Jesus, and that's enough to move his heart. You know, the Bible says this in Romans. It says, God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we're still far from God, while we still didn't love God, while we still didn't know God, Christ died for us. You know, we can look at the story of the leper and we can say, you know, was Jesus moved by some outward thing that the leper did? Was Jesus moved by the leper's future faithfulness? Or was Jesus moved by the leper's superior grammar skills? No, Jesus was moved because he cared. Jesus was moved because he loved the leper. You know, John 3:16 says this, you know it well, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's motivation was his love for the world. It wasn't like, oh man, a bunch of people like me down there, so I should go save them. No, he didn't need anything to motivate him. He motivated himself by his love, by his care for people. Deeply moved, Jesus reaches out, touches the leper, and says, be clean, because he cares for people. Jesus is willing. Today, I don't know what you come in with that you need Jesus to work in your life, but I want to encourage you today, Jesus is willing. You don't need to come and try to work yourself up. You don't need to come and try to make yourself good enough for God. Jesus is willing. He's not intimidated by what you have. He's not intimidated by your past. He's not intimidated by the things that you carry. He's willing and able, and he wants to reach out and touch you today. He cares about you. He loves you. Jesus is powerful enough for your past. He's able to overcome your addiction. He's able to bring blessing in your brokenness. He cares about you. He loves you. Jesus is willing. Now, the passage takes an interesting turn at this point, and it actually creates some questions in our mind, because Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, this phrase, sternly charged, is a strong phrase in the Greek. This is Jesus saying, you know what? I know that you're really hard to focus right now, but I need you to do this because this is really important. And he sternly charged him. He says, don't tell anybody about this and go to the priest, which is what was required by the law, so this man could be reintroduced to society. He says, go to the priest and do what's required by the law. But what you find that's striking is the leper does neither of these things. The leper obviously disobeys Jesus. And the reason Jesus is strong is what Jesus has come to do is important, and Jesus wants to make the most of his time, and he doesn't want to be misrepresented. And so he tells the leper, hey, don't tell anybody about this because I haven't just come to heal, but I've come to save the world. And so he charges him with this, but the leper is disobedient. And it's almost like you would think in this moment, Jesus is like, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. Man, I probably shouldn't have healed that guy. But Jesus isn't taken off guard by that. Jesus made a decision. Jesus knew that was going to happen. You know what's interesting is you read in this passage that Jesus, after the leper talks freely and disobeys the command, it says that Jesus now was relegated to a desolate place, that he couldn't enter a town openly. You know, when we started this story, the leper was the one who was in the desolate place. The leper was the one who couldn't enter a town openly. Now Jesus is in a desolate place, and Jesus can't enter a town openly. The leper was ostracized. Now Jesus is ostracized. But I think it's important to note that Jesus, being fully God, knew exactly what was going to happen, and he was willing to take the leper's place. He was willing to make a decision that would cost him something because he cared for the leper. Jesus is willing to take your place. That is the gospel. Jesus takes our place. He who had no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He who had a perfect relationship with the Father said, you know what? I'm going to experience the wrath of the Father so you can have a relationship with God. He who died in our place so we could have life with him. Jesus took our place. Jesus was willing to take our place on the cross. That's good news for us today, that it doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter who you are, God loves you enough, and he says, you know what? I'm going to send my son to die for you on the cross so you can have a relationship with me. I'm going to send my son to be ostracized so you can be brought into the family of God. I'm going to send my son out to a desolate place so you don't have to live out there, because I love you and I care for you and I'm willing enough to take your place and die for you on the cross because I care. Jesus is willing. He's willing for you to come to him. He's willing to help you. He's willing to take your place today. Jesus is willing. And that's good news. That's the gospel. That Jesus knows who we are fully. He knows the diseases we have spiritually, and yet he's willing to come, to let us come to him. He's willing to reach out and touch us, and he's willing to take our place. I hope that encourages you this morning. I hope that gets into your spirit this morning. Jesus is willing. Maybe you come in and you feel like God would never have anything to do with me. That is not true. That's not the testimony of Scripture. Jesus is willing. Let's pray.